O na mi na o
mi na
o mi na
na o mi
na
we
na na we o mi
na we
o
mi na
o mi na
na na we o
mi
o
na we
na we
na we
na we
na
na we
o
we na.
Hello there, and welcome to The High Ground, a Doof bonus content show. We're adventuring into the DreamWorks Shrek franchise. I'm your tortured gingerbread host, Reuben Morehouse.
And I'm your swampy ogre host, Elliot Diebold, or Smelly at Diebold.
Nice.
Donkey! How was that?
Beautiful. Loved it. That was so good. All right, and that's...
My single word, I finally managed it.
God, there's going to be a lot of editing to make this coherent.
Nah, so just because I'm sure Elliot has cut the bit out, we should give the backstory to
I'll include it as a blooper, like on the Discord or something. Okay. I'll release this whole clip as a blooper somewhere.
Of me okay, screaming.
Cool. Well, if you want to know the backstory to why we're already 5 minutes into this recording and we've got about 3 seconds of audio, you can check out the blooper on the Discord. Anyway, we're here to talk about Shrek, everybody. Shrek. It's a movie from 2001. It's actually just past the 20-year anniversary of Shrek coming out.
Incredible.
Which is wild. Yeah, absolutely wild. I mean, you know, it's Shrek, right? Like, it's. Is there a movie that is more of a living meme than this one? If so, I cannot think of it.
Arguably,
Shrek is love.
Either
Shrek
the Star Wars prequels or...
Mm.
Or the Sam Raimi Spider-Man films.
True. They're big meme movies too.
All from around the same period, it's worth pointing out. There was something about the early 2000s that just broke everyone.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's just like a formative period for people that are now becoming the champions of meme culture on the internet, I suppose.
Yeah, the right demographic, like people roughly our age.
Mm.
I think there is also, though, like a certain corniness to movies from this period. Like, you compare it to some of the more gritty stuff, like the movies that are getting memed at the moment are the like sillier, more lighthearted ones.
A little bit self-aware though.
Yeah.
But so what should we talk about for this film?
It's really good. It held up even better than I expected.
Yeah. Yeah, it did, didn't it? This is going to kind of be a bit of a wild one because, like, we're just going to go on a lot of tangents. I can already kind of predict. I know you two, I think, both have strong attachments to Shrek from your childhood. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yep.
So we're probably going to go off on a bunch of tangents. And actually, over the course of this recording, I have a number of Shrek trivia questions that I'm going to ask you. Georgie, I don't think we're prepared for this, but Elliot said to me that you and he and your other family members, of course, had watched Shrek a lot of times, and he said that he could probably quote every single line from Shrek, and that inspired me to create. It's not all just quotes. It's a bunch of different trivia of varying difficulties, but I'm going to be tracking to see who has the most points at the end of the show. And, of course, feel free to play along at home if you want to play along at home as well. We'll see how we go.
I do want to clarify, George, that what I specifically said was that 10 years ago I would have been very confident that I could, like, say everyone from the movie in order. Now I'm, like, definitely a little bit more rusty, but it will be fun to see how much is still in there.
Yeah, we will have to see.
I have this memory, Elliot, of one of your friends from primary school having, like, some kind of DVD, almost like a SingStar thing, where you actually did talk along to Shrek. And you just went through and you just spoke along and his mum being like, oh, he's such a great actor.
Like,
and of course
Star.
Our mum being like, no, he's not. But it was just like you just spoke along to Shrek.
SingStar, but you just spoke along to Shrek.
Yeah, you just go like, what are you doing? I'm a swamp. And just like the whole, just not. I don't know if it went for the whole movie or just a few choices.
That is actually, because it is worth pointing out that, like, that's a thing for Beat Saber. In Beat Saber,
that's
you can
what
play
I was
the
thinking.
Entire Shrek movie.
Did you do that, Elliot? Did one of us do that? I can't remember.
I got about 5 minutes in and then kind of quit. I think, like, to get the full 90 minutes in, I'd need to be doing it. Like, I pitched it as a Doof and Chill thing one time where everybody else would just be Doof and Chilling and commentating, like, me and you doing the full 90-minute Beat Saber Shrek thing.
Just as a side note, and maybe you want to cut this out, Elliot, I don't know. Would this be a good segment for All Backed Up 2?
What? Beat Sabering Shrek?
Yeah, I don't know. Could be.
Can we get someone to make a Beat Saber map of one of the audiobook chapters for Hale?
Anyway.
Sorry. Yeah. Back on topic, sort of.
Well, roughly.
Were we on topic ever?
On topic-ish. So the other thing, I mean, like, Shrek is so in the public consciousness. This was really exemplified to me. We obviously watched Shrek for this recording a few days ago altogether. And like a day ago, just like a day after we had watched it, my brother-in-law sent me a meme of like, and it's the same meme that I think I shared to you all about a week ago of, it's a me, them, me, them kind of meme. And it's me and they're saying like, oh, I'm, you know, watching something about like the deconstruction of, you know, identities and blah, blah, blah. Them, dot, 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 me, dot, 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 them, you're just watching Shrek again, right? Which is a classic meme. And then my brother-in-law sent it to me, and I was just kind of like, it's an example of how in the public consciousness Shrek is, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and we've actually struggled with some of our other high ground things to make sure we can all view them. Like, part of the reason Pirates of the Caribbean was our second franchise is because we knew we all had Disney Plus because of the Star Wars movies, and Pirates was on Disney Plus. When we went to look up where Shrek is, it's on every single streaming service in Australia. Yep. It's on Netflix, it's on Amazon, it's on Stan,
it's on Binge, all of them.
It's everywhere.
It's in your mind.
Also, can I just say, just a quick aside, I fucking hate how Binge is named. I keep trying to look up if something's on Binge, and if you search like, is something on Binge, you just get articles about binging that show. It's a shit service name.
You want to use Just Watch, Elliot. Just Watch is a great service that I do use Just Watch.
But I don't want to have to Google. I don't want to have to do that extra step again there. Sometimes I just want to Google it, like, because I want to see when something is coming as well.
Yes, that's
like
true.
If you Google, like, you know, point. When is season 6 of Superstore coming to Netflix Australia, you'll get articles saying, oh, it'll probably arrive in May.
When is season 6 of Superstore coming?
They don't know. But it's on Binge.
Damn it. I just finished it.
So, fun fact, I spent a bit of time. I got to say, the wiki page for Shrek has some absolute gems because this movie has such a wild production. Here's a fun fact. I'm going to be dropping a few of these throughout. I've got a few kind of wiki pulls that are going to get dropped at certain points. Nicolas Cage was originally offered the role of Shrek. So that's already a fun fact in and of itself.
That's
but he
hilarious.
Turned it down. He turned it down because he didn't want to look like an ogre, which is, I don't know what that even means.
See, okay, I was going to go for the very obvious Nicolas Cage turns down roles joke, but now I'm much more interested in pursuing this Nicolas Cage doesn't understand what animation is angle.
Okay, so I mean, it sounds ridiculous, but he does say, the quote is, I feel like this is a later justification. Maybe he didn't realize that it was going to be animated or something. But later on he said, when you're drawn, in a way, it says more about how children are going to see you than anything else, and I so care about that. So
that's fair. I mean, also, DreamWorks is definitely the studio that has a lot of movies where they do, like, I'm thinking of, don't they have, is it Shark Tale, where the fish looks like Will Smith?
Is that right? Yeah, maybe that's right. Is that DreamWorks? I guess it is.
I think it is.
Googling Shark Tale. It must be.
It's not a very good movie. I don't know much about it.
Although, God, I'm looking at it now, and the fish does not look as much like Will Smith as I had in my head.
I don't remember thinking that the fish looked like Will Smith.
Yeah, that also stuck out to me as, like, that to me was the kind of thing of, like, is that true? I don't remember thinking it, but it feels like it could be true, so I just went along
with it. You said it with a lot of certainty, and we just went, okay.
I feel like I read it somewhere.
Yeah. yeah. So they got Chris Farley then to do the voice work of Shrek, and he was about, I think, like 80 or 90% through, but then he tragically died when it wasn't complete, and so they recast it, brought in Mike Myers, who took complete creative control of the character of Shrek and like rewrote He insisted, apparently, on a complete script rewrite, did that. That was all done. He completed all his voice. And then he decided that he wanted to do a Scottish accent. So they went back again and re-recorded all the lines. So, like, there's another one as well, actually.
I would love to hear
another
that.
Another thing from the from the wiki page. Yeah, what would it have been like before then? There's another thing from the wiki page where the DreamWorks animators, apparently, if they did badly on other projects that were going on at the time, like The Prince of Egypt, they were sent to work on Shrek. They referred to it as being Shreked or being sent to the gulag. So this movie shouldn't have been good. Like, all this backstory stuff makes me feel like the movie should have been terrible, but yeah. It just somehow is amazing.
What's the gulag?
Like being sent to the gulag. It's like a Siberian prison, right?
Oh. Yeah, well, yeah, like a Soviet, like, concentration camp sort of deal.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Yeah, so it wasn't a good thing being Shreked.
But I will say, because I've seen that get put on, like, Today I Learned things on Reddit, and I've looked into it in the past, and this was, like, 5 years before Shrek came out, and it was a super different project. So it was being hand-animated at this point. Like, when people were getting Shreked, that was back when it was actually something that was going to be drawn.
Yeah, I mean, it seems to have gone through like 3 or 4 complete overhauls, right?
Yeah, in fact, I want to read a quote from what the plot of Shrek was at this point where people would get Shreked and taken off other projects.
Okay.
Shrek was essentially the story of the ugliest guy in the world who meets the ugliest woman in the world, and they get together and have the world's ugliest children, said an animator who stormed out of the story pitch in disgust.
So, oh, like, my gosh.
Yeah, the original plan for this movie was just to make fun of ugly people, I guess. Like, it sounds incredibly shitty. And, like, if that was what the project was when this was going on, then I think the, like, Shrek being a punishment makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. I guess some of that is lingering from, like, so something that I didn't know about this before I started wiki diving is that Shrek is a book. Right.
Oh, really?
It's like a fairy tale, is it? Or is it like a modern book?
So Shrek is a ogre who enjoys causing misery with his repulsiveness. He gets kicked out by his parents. He meets a witch. He basically goes around, like, you know, fucking people over and being a general nuisance. And then he meets a princess and they fall in love because they're both ugly and they marry and live horribly ever after. So I don't know. I mean, it seems like that early version of the film aligns more with the book.
Sounds closer. Yeah. That definitely sounds like a much, like, obviously we'll get into this as we actually start talking about, like, the plot of the movie. Like, this movie is a really kind of uplifting inversion of a lot of fairy tale tropes. Like, it challenges fairy tales in a very uplifting way. It sounds like the original novel is trying to challenge the tropes in the same way, but not quite as uplifting. It just sounds kind of shitty about doing them as well.
Yeah. Well,
I don't know. Maybe that's an unfair, assumption I'm making about how it was summarized.
I think that this is the thing that makes Shrek successful. Well, this is what it feels like to me is, DreamWorks as a company, I don't know the full backstory, but from what I understand, it was formed as a company because Jeffrey Katzenberg and whoever else were, like, moving away from Disney as an organization, right? And so they went and they created their own company so they could do their own thing. And Shrek as a movie is, like, the perfect actualization of that idea, right? Like, it's, in so many ways, it's an explicit rejection of the Disney princess/fairy tale mythos, right? And that's seemingly the part that the people making the film cared about and found interesting, and that's the stuff that really makes it work, right?
It's a really good point. Yeah, I think it's interesting that they apparently took a book that did that in what sounds like a not so great way and made it work in a really cool way. Like, this definitely sounds like an example of the movie being better than the book.
Mm.
I find it interesting that it was going to be initially hand animated, in that the non-hand animation is actually really good. And I think, like, you know, something that was surprisingly held up really well, given that this movie is, yeah, like 20 years old now.
Yeah, I was surprised at how good it looked. Like, compared to when you see the people in, like, Toy Stories 1 and 2, they look terrible. The way the people are worked into the, like, art style of Shrek is kind of fantasy, fairy tale-ish. They hold up surprisingly well.
So, you know, and just things like when I think about, yeah, this versus Toy Story is, like, the facial expressions of the people. And, like, there was one bit where I noticed, like, Farquaad's hair in the scene, like, where, you know, Shrek's, like, fighting all of the knights in Duloc. Like, his hair, like, you could see, like, the strands of his hair and it was, like, moving around in the wind. And I was like, wow, that's, like, really good animation. I hadn't really thought about the animation in Shrek before.
Yeah. Yeah, it really held up, didn't it? One other thing that's worth talking about before we dive in is, I didn't know this until I was wiki diving after we'd watched the movie, but the script for this was partially written by Ted Elliott and Terry Rossio, who, of course, did the scripts for the good Pirates of the Caribbean films as well. So just kind of incidentally, The High Ground as a show has turned into us just tracking the careers of Ted Elliott and Terry Rossio, which I think is wonderful, and I think we should keep it going because they clearly are doing pretty well.
Yeah.
We should. We should look up what else they've done.
I actually did because I was thinking, I was like, wow, they seem to have this knack for taking things that probably shouldn't work that well and really making them click. They did Small Soldiers, which that's a deep reference for anybody else who saw that film at like age 8 like I did. They did Road to El Dorado, which I'd argue is one of the better
animated
late 90s, early 2000s ones. And they did Godzilla versus Kong. Which, for a bit of behind the scenes sneak peek for those of you listening, I have been suggesting the MonsterVerse movies as one of our franchises we could cover, like Godzilla and King Kong and stuff. So, more ammo for that fire.
Mm.
They also did G-Force Georgia, the movie that you are named after.
I know. I've definitely never seen it.
Well, we definitely have to cover it. I mean, I have no idea. I think it's about a hamster, isn't it? That's all I know about it.
Like guinea pigs, I think.
So same shit.
We should watch it. No, I feel like different. We should watch it.
Georgia, we definitely saw it, though. Like, but, like, I'm talking about I saw it once when I was, like, 10, which means you would have seen it once when you were 8.
We're
going to remember fuck all about it.
Did it come out when we were that old?
I don't know.
I'm looking it up now. I don't believe you.
Don't look too much because I've
never
seen
G-Force.
I feel like we should watch it and just go in completely blind and who knows what the fuck is. It might, I mean, given the pedigree, it might just be like the best movie ever.
It was 2009.
Oh, shit. That's really so recent.
Yeah.
Okay, am I thinking of something else then?
What are you thinking of, Elliot? Maybe
because there's no way I watched this at age 18 and don't remember it.
I don't think because I remember looking at it and thinking, like, I would have fucking loved this as a kid. So I was thinking, I don't think I was a kid. They're like,
I'm thinking of Cats and Dogs. That's what I'm thinking
of. Oh, that's a good movie. We should watch that too. We could do sort of semi-animated CGI animal movies.
Yeah, that sounds like a great topic for a series of films.
It really flows off the tongue as well.
Yeah.
God, it looks terrible.
Cats and dogs are basically hamsters, aren't they? Like,
sure.
Hamsters and guinea pigs are not the same. You just think all rodents are the same. We could watch Stuart Little as well. Hannah and I were just talking about how much I fucking hate that movie.
Oh, really? Do you hate Stuart Little? Why is that?
I hate Stuart Little. I don't know. It always creeped me out. And
it's never addressed that he's a rat for adoption.
Pretend like it's. I saw a meme the other day that was like, oh my God, look at all of these poor orphans. We'll take the rat.
Right.
Anyway,
I watched a recent video about this, YouTube video about this. Great, great up and coming YouTuber called Leo Vader. Love him. Great stuff. And the video is about the cat in Stuart Little, Snowball, who talks to Stuart Little.
Oh yeah, but he doesn't talk to the humans. Else.
Exactly. Yes. No, yeah. None of the humans seem to understand him, and Leo is trying to track whether they can understand him and are just dicks to him all the time, or whether they can't. And it seems to be somewhere in between the two. I would strongly recommend this YouTube video. It's a wonderful experience.
Send it to me.
Yeah, post that in the Discord after, please. When this episode comes out, I want to watch that.
For record, the name of the video is "Can They Understand the Cat in Stuart Little?" Great video.
It's a good question.
I like that as a title.
It's also, I've just noticed it's a lowercase c. It doesn't start. It's not in title case, and it's kind of driving me mental now. Anyway, let's talk about Shrek, shall we? So now that we're, 20 or 30 minutes into this episode, let's start by getting into the actual plot of Shrek. So we meet Shrek, the titular Shrek. He is an ogre who loves to be by himself, but unfortunately, his nice, isolated swamp quickly gets a bunch of fairy tale creatures dumped on it by Lord Farquaad, who is rounding up fairy tale creatures for persecution.
Can I just jump in saying that just Lord Farquaad is just such a great name. It's really good. And his whole character is just so dislikable. They really nailed it.
I wanted to just quickly bring up that this soundtrack slaps from moment one. And I'm not even talking about All Star by Smash Mouth.
Even before that, the
Shrek theme song.
Keep going, Georgia.
I ain't the shop for stealing the shed.
Yeah.
She was looking. Did you do a little sound effect for me?
Yeah, you got to do the sound effect as well.
The finger. And nah, stop.
Yeah, we'll get your singing's too good. We'll get a copyright claim.
Start coming. It'll definitely come up.
While Shrek was reading the fairy tale thing, like it opens on a shot of Shrek like reading a fairy tale that's about Fiona, and it, like the sort of like Shrek more soundtracky score music comes on, and even that came on, and I was just hit with waves of nostalgia, like.
Mm.
The sort of, you know, pop culture soundtrack, like actual pop songs that they've got are very good. But even just the score for this movie slaps.
Yeah, because that's the little riff that Fiona sings later in the movie to the bird and stuff as well.
Yeah.
Just that little, yeah. I never really thought about that.
Mm.
Just like, because I feel like we said the same thing about Scooby-Doo last month, but this is really even a step above that.
Yeah.
It's less iconically 2000s. Like the Scooby-Doo one is still the one I point to as like, this is what the early 2000s were for kids at that time, or at least for me. This one's just a great timeless soundtrack.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think everybody had, did you have the CD soundtrack of this?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. So did we, so did Penny, my partner. We were watching this film. I was like, oh, we're going to watch Shrek. And she was like, oh, I had the soundtrack for Shrek when we were growing up. I'm pretty sure just everybody had that green CD in that shitty old plastic case.
Definitely.
Now I'm wondering if they, because remember, like every single kid in Australia had Age of Empires 2 because they gave it away with rice bubbles.
I did have Age of Empires 2 now. I'm thinking about it.
Yeah, because they gave away, like rice bubbles is what Rice Krispies are called in Australia. So basically, if you bought a box of Rice Krispies, you got a copy of Age of Empires 2, which meant every kid who had a computer had Age of Empires 2.
Yeah.
And wow. I'm wondering, I'm trying to remember, did they do that with Shrek?
No, I think it was just really freaking good.
Yeah.
Everybody wanted it.
My dad used to buy us. So for Christmas, Christmas stockings. I feel like this is maybe an Australian thing, but like, you get a stocking that's like full of junk.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right?
Like you get, you get your presents under the tree.
Yeah.
But you also have the stocking. I feel like it's meant to be on the end of your bed, but in our house at least, it was usually just in the living room. But yeah, it'd be filled with a bunch of junk that would fill up the whole stocking.
It's supposed to be in the fireplace. It's like a Northern Hemisphere thing, isn't it?
For us, it would be on our door handle. So I don't know. Who knows?
Yeah. But I think we just like sat them next to the couch. But yeah, it's like you fill them up. But the total value of what was stuffing the stocking would still probably amount to less than whatever was under the tray.
So we're talking like chocolate coins or a classic stocking stuffer. My dad would get us Little Bo Peeps, which are like these little hard candies. And he would always get us, in addition to that, a magazine and a CD. And so I'm pretty sure that, and we're talking like, you know, it would be a CD of like It's like a classic 2000s-y.
So fresh.
Like, yeah, so fresh, like a, yes. Whatever Missy Higgins has just put out or something, right? Like, or the Shrek soundtrack, I'm sure would have been a stocking CD. So I feel like it's kind of a similar thing of like, you know, kids.
We're turning into Malia and Jenny. We're talking about Christmas.
Yeah. It's almost that season. To bring this back highbrow for a second, we recently watched the first episode of Invincible, and there's going to be some minor Invincible spoilers here. Sorry, everybody. But something that Invincible does is in the first episode. Have you seen it, Georgia?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, cool. So in the first episode, it tries to trick you basically into thinking that it's a slightly different type of show than what it is, and then like pulls the rug out from under you. And like, I think it's a very fun thing that it does, but it leads to what we were talking about in this group watch was it leads to the first episode of the show kind of feeling very tropey and somewhat boring as a result. Like, not fully boring, but like, oh, I've kind of seen this before. I don't need to pay attention until you're, you know, 2/3 of the way through. But what Shrek does is do that in about 10 seconds and in just a way better way. So, because the opening to Shrek is him reading a storybook and you're kind of like, oh, it's like a fairy tale. Like,
it feels like Beauty and the Beast or something. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, I kind of knew what was coming because I've seen this movie a million times, obviously. But looking at it again, I was just kind of like, this is that, but just like done a million times better, because then he rips out the page and wipes his ass with it. And it's just like, oh shit, this is just like immediately setting up, hey, you know, fairy tales, we're like that, but a deconstruction, but with fart jokes and stuff. And you're like, Shrek is so efficient with your storytelling. I love it.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Like, it's very, very quick in establishing exactly what it is and what it's doing.
Yeah.
Like, this movie is going to take fairy tales and it's going to put shit all over
it. It's going to wipe its ass with them. I mean, yeah, like, unironically, that's what it does.
Yeah.
Well, because then after this, like, as he's walking out of the outhouse where he reads this, Smash Mouth comes in, which obviously I don't think was as big a pop culture statement back then as it would be to use it now.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, then he goes and he takes a bath in his swamp, and it's just, like, generally a two-minute montage. Like, it's the credits, but it's also just it's 2 minutes of him being as gross as possible. And it's, like, it's just very clearly saying, this is not a fairy tale.
This is not Prince Charming.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just, like, it's very – I wasn't expecting to come away from this movie with such a deep appreciation of how – competently made and talented that the people behind it were, you know what I mean? But I did. Like, it's just like, you know, you watch it when you're a kid and you don't take in this stuff, and then I've never actually watched it again intentionally being on the lookout for this kind of stuff, but when you are, it's just like everywhere in this film.
Yeah, watching it now as an adult, it holds up so much better than I expected to, like, as an adult film. Like, I expected it to still be funny and nostalgic, but I didn't expect it to actually be good.
But I think as well as the, like, concept being good, the dialogue is so good. Like, it's just,
oh, yeah.
It's so funny. Like, every line is hilarious. And just the voice acting is so good as well, which is why I was like, oh, it's so hard to imagine it without the Scottish accent.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah. I wonder, can we try and do some lines? Let's do some lines from Shrek, but without the Scottish accent, okay? So,
what are you doing in my swamp?
What are you doing in my swamp?
What are you doing in my swamp? Maybe it'd be like a fancy...
Harketh, what art thou doing in my swamp?
Ogres are like onions. They have layers.
God, it sounds so wrong.
Shit. Yeah. It sounds so shit.
Hello. Ogres are like onions.
Do we know what the original accent was?
No, that's what I just was wondering. It's probably not Australian.
I mean, I'm assuming it'd be Mike Myers, so it'd be like a Canadian accent, right? Like, or Austin Powers voice. Maybe he did it in his Austin Powers voice.
that would be really
And
good.
What would that sound like, Elliot?
Give me a moment, because I have not seen Austin Powers since I was like 12.
just seeing the same thing, I was like... What is Austin Powers?
Like, what is Austin Powers? It's like Shagadelic, baby.
Oh, baby.
Yeah.
I'll
behave.
What are you doing in my swamp?
Oh, that's good.
That's really good.
Ooh, that felt so gross.
I did not enjoy that.
Ooh, what are you doing in my swamp?
And so would Lord Farquaad would be like Dr. Evil.
But he doesn't need a mini-me, which we'll get to.
He's just mini-me. He's like a cross between the two.
All right, everyone. Enough fun and games. It's time for the first Shrek trivia question. Here we go.
Oh, my God.
I guess buzz in with your name when you want to attempt the answer. Some questions will have bonus points. This question, there are a total of 2 points available, okay? First part, I'm not going to tell you what the bonus point is going to be for, though. You'll just have to see if you get it or not. So here's the question. Shrek and Donkey meet, and Donkey starts following Shrek, right? And Shrek, he gets a bit upset at Donkey for this. And so Shrek says to Donkey, "Why are you following me?" What does Donkey say in response?
Donkey! That's me buzzing in.
Okay, so that's wrong. But yeah, if that's your buzzer, then yeah. He says, take it away, Georgia.
I think he says, "Cause I'm all alone. Yep. There's no one here beside me."
Keep going.
My troubles have all gone.
There's no one to ride me.
But you gotta have faith.
And he goes, stop singing.
Yes, you're correct. And you know what, Georgia? You got the bonus point because you sung it. And you just say it. So you get 2 points. Now, Elliot, you had a few words that were wrong in there. For example, it's my problems have all gone, as Georgia said, not my troubles have all gone. So, yeah, okay. Up there, the scoreboard, Georgia, 2 points. Elliot, 0 points. All right.
No.
We'll have some more questions coming up. Coming up later.
I'm looking forward to it.
Farquaad is looking to become king, so he needs to find a princess to marry. And he finds one. He picks one from the, you know, game show-esque kind of thing that the magic mirror does. But he needs a champion to rescue.
This mirror game show is at least the first super prominent example of, like, one of the things we haven't talked about too much yet in this movie, which is, like, how much it leans on pop culture references and parodies for its humor.
It doesn't do it that much, does it? Like, the one that stands out the most to me is, and we all called it out when we were doing the group watches, here comes the Matrix reference, which is very dated, even though there is a new Matrix movie coming out. But, like, I guess maybe it is.
There's even things like "you and what army" and
is that a reference? What's
you,
that a reference?
You're coming with me. And there's a whole bunch of them in there.
Oh wow! I guess
there's a lot of one-liners that are references to things. And stuff like this game show. A lot of the like making fun of Duloc stuff is specifically targeting like modern culture. And like, you know, obviously Disneyland as well. We'll get there. I guess the point I sort of wanted to make here was, like, we've already talked about how it's intentionally challenging fairy tale tropes. And what I thought was interesting was, given that it was already doing all that, I would have thought that then just, like, very frequently but unimportantly constantly making pop culture references would have actually kind of felt out of place and taken away from it. But it totally doesn't. Like, the bit where the mirror just does a game show for Farquaad to decide which, like, princess he wants to marry is still fucking hilarious.
Yeah, it works really well, doesn't it?
And I'm just, I don't even know why. Like, I was trying to think of, like, why it works when I feel like it shouldn't. And I have no idea, but, like, I enjoy all the pop culture references as much as I enjoy the, like, on-the-theme references.
But the scene that you skipped over by going to the mirror one is my favorite scene in the whole movie, which is where Farquaad is interrogating Gingy. I just love that. It's so funny. It's kind of fucked up too. He's like ripped his legs off.
And yeah, crushes there's a one lot in front this of him. Film that is really fucked up, hey? Fucked
up, yeah. And then it's like, okay, I'll tell you. Do you know the Muffin Man? And then they just quote the whole song. But they make it sound like an interrogation. It's so good.
Yeah.
And he crumbles his leg up.
He does.
I don't know. Like, it just is so – I really was just in awe of this film as I was watching it. Like, I was enjoying it a lot, but I was just kind of being like, oh, shit, this is so much cleverer. Things operated on more levels than I realized when I was just a stupid kid.
Yeah, 100%.
Penny wanted me to mention as well that her favorite scene is the bit where Shrek's approaching Duloc and the guy in the mascot outfit runs through the what do you call them?
The queue. Oh, yeah, like the queue.
Yeah.
But he zigzags. Like he doesn't just run straight
through. He actually runs through them.
He's just going to walk through it all. And then he does. And then that guy hits his head and gets knocked out. And she was she couldn't even describe the scene to me. She was laughing. So she wanted me to
convey that. It's not that funny. Like, it's good.
I got, she laughed so hard at it. And it's like, it's a funny joke, but it's not. Just really tickled me.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and again, like, it's a funny joke, but also what a great metaphor for like how Shrek is different from the people of Duloc, that even when this guy's running for his life, he won't break the rules, and yeah. Shrek just fucking cruises through. Something that I guess as we're talking about like Farquaad and his introduction, I already sort of made a mini me joke a minute ago, so this is very hypocritical of me to say, but. The one thing that really did stand out to me as not working in this film on this watch is the whole message of this film is sort of accepting people who aren't conventionally attractive and, you know, the differences are okay. And yet everyone in the movie openly mocks Farquaad for his height.
Mm-hmm.
Like, aggressively.
And, yeah. And, like, he's a dickhead. So, obviously, like, there's like a limited amount of sympathy there, but it also like it does just sort of run it well, especially because I feel like the motivation on Farquaad's end is actually set up that part of the reason he has this chip on his shoulder about everyone needing to look perfect is because he's insecure about his height.
Yes, 100%.
So it's like he's making things worse and he's doubled down on the problem that's like caused his insecurity and whatever. But like you sort of lose the moral high ground a bit when you just so mercilessly make fun of him for something he also can't control.
Yeah,
it's literally true. The one thing which stood out to me in this watch is like it's a bit weird,
especially given that because then you could sit there and say, "Oh, but Farquaad's not a nice person," but like Shrek's not really a nice person either. So why do I side with Shrek? I'm not sure.
Yeah, well, and like even if he's not a nice person, like that doesn't like. You're still invalidating your own moral position a bit by like saying, oh, well, you know, the right to be accepted for who you are only applies if you're not a cunt. Like, it doesn't quite like.
Or you have to be really, really ugly, not just short.
Yeah. Like, it just stands out a little bit watching it now.
I wonder if it's from a previous version of the story. Like, I could see it from the remnant of the versions that we were talking about before that were a bit. More cutthroat, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe because, I suppose the thing is without them, there's no humor to Farquaad's character. And so maybe it was one of those things where.
Otherwise, like, he would just be too much of a fascist.
Yeah, they didn't have another angle. And so, like, there were probably a few writers who were like, this isn't working. But then with time limits and budgets, it was sort of one of those situations where they're like, well, we don't have anything to replace it with. So it's staying in there.
Yeah, I can definitely see that.
I do like the scene there where he gets off the horse and there's like the fake legs to make him look taller.
And the fake gauntlets as well. Yeah, it's very good. All right, folks. Farquaad, he has a second in command, an executioner that is following him around the entire time. First part of the question, what is the name of this character?
Is it Elliot?
Yep.
I feel like it starts with an M. I want to say Milo.
That is incorrect. Georgia?
Damn it.
Yeah, I have no idea. I don't know his name.
Not big enough fans of Shrek, huh? Because Farquaad says it when you first meet this character. It is...
Oh, no, wait.
Thelonious!
Yeah, it's Thelonious. Oh, shit. It's Thelonious, yeah.
Georgia got in there first, I think. But don't worry, Elliot. There are some bonus points available. Okay, so the bonus points are... What... He, as far as I could tell, he only has two lines. What are those
number
lines?
Three. Number three,
my lord.
I
don't know what the second one would be.
He's in the end scene at the wedding, and he's the one who writes "or" on the
he does
card at the end. But I don't know if he says anything there. Does he say anything to the gingerbread man?
Huh?
No, I can't think of what his other
line. Maybe this doesn't quite count, but he has a line in the karaoke party post-credits scene.
Oh.
He sings
Feelings.
And I think that's all I could tell apart from the other one you mentioned. So I will give I'll give 1 point to Georgia for that and 1 point to Elliot. So,
yes,
Georgia,
on the
you're
board.
On three. Nick Elliot, on you're on one. All right. So, Shrek defeats all of the other champions to a kick-ass song and agrees to rescue Fiona in exchange for Farquaad giving back his swamp. And we should talk about Duloc while we're here as well, because like you alluded to before, Elliot, it is like clearly an indictment of Disney. It's like Disneyland. It's very capitalist, almost fascist. Like, it's so clean. It's so, you know, it's about perfection. It's about conformity.
I'd say openly fascist, because they're literally evicting all of the fairy tale creatures for being different. Like, I'm not super like specific on my I might need to look up the definition of fascist, but I feel like that covers it. Like, yeah, he's authoritarian. He's kicking out people who are different. That's got to count.
Yeah, you're right. Something that I didn't notice on when I was younger, but noticed this time definitely, is in this scene when you're seeing the crowd, they are all white. There is not a non-white character in the crowd in Duloc that I saw, at least. Which again, I mean, gives strong fascist vibes, right?
Yep.
I don't know whether any of the fairy tale creatures were not white who were human.
True. I mean, they're not, they're, you know.
A bit whitewashed all up.
Yeah.
Except for Donkey, of course.
Well, but he's a donkey, right? So where do you draw the line there? But then there's like
a grey donkey.
There's like mice and wolves and stuff. Like, yeah, I don't know. And puppets. Who knows what?
Yeah, most of them aren't human.
They're non-human. To be fair. Right, like. But I guess some of them are. You've got like the witches and stuff. So what do I know?
Like Snow White, she wasn't even black. She was white.
Oh, boy.
What?
That's the only human character I can think of. Yeah, she's literally called Snow White.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point. Yeah.
So to be fair to the fairy tale creatures, maybe, there wasn't a lot of options.
And I guess maybe that's also a fair... Like, you know, a lot of these fairy tales are from an era of, you know, for the people who were writing them were privileged, and that's why these stories have persisted, right? And so almost certainly the stories themselves are quite whitewashed. I wonder, I don't know if that's an intentional thing in this film at least, but definitely plays into the themes as a whole, I think.
Well, like, obviously a lot of them trace right back to, like, Grimm's fairy tales, which is medieval enough that, like, the sort of the lifestyle of the people back then was pretty ethnically homogenous. Like, you know, there wasn't as much travel and stuff back then. But, like, this is less leaning into the Grimm stuff and much more the, like, Disney history, which is definitely the, like, kiddified, whitewashed versions of these stories.
Mm. Yeah. They've obviously been trying harder in recent times, but certainly not 2001.
Mm.
Yeah.
What a great fight scene this is, though.
Oh, right?
Like the whole wrestling scene. It's just wonderful.
And just the plot twist with it of, you know, him kind of basically just having a massive fight with them and then Farquaad being like, oh, yeah, you'd actually be pretty good for the job. Here you go. And he's like, oh, and he actually agrees to it. It's a great like storyline.
It makes perfect, like, it totally tracks with what all the characters want. It's just like a perfect extension of the story.
Yeah.
Donkey and Shrek head to the castle and rescue Fiona after a brief encounter with a dragon who is very taken with Donkey.
Mm-hmm.
Something else that Penny noticed here was, as you're getting towards, you've got this bit where Shrek is, you've got a kind of a montage of Shrek and Donkey heading towards the castle, the castle. And there's a few scenes in it, like especially towards as you reach this like sulfury hilly area where it kind of looks like Pride Rock from Lion King. And I don't know if that was an intentional like visual allusion to the Disney films, but I could kind of see it.
Yeah, I didn't notice that actually.
To get all cinema sins for a second, Fiona, what's the deal with Fiona in this castle? Am I right? So, like, did Fiona's parents hire this dragon? Is this like a service, like a dragon bodyguard?
Yeah, but then I don't it can't know if be because make that clear.
Because the dragon was going to kill her with fire as much as it was going to kill Shrek and Donkey.
Is this partly explained in the sequel?
I don't know, because I feel like
the fairy godmother kind of Was it that the fairy spoilers, godmother?
Spoilers. I haven't really seen that one. So
you haven't seen Shrek 2?
What the fuck is wrong with you?
I saw it once when it came out, but I don't remember it. All I remember is I think Prince Charming is in it.
You're in for a real treat. Oh my god.
But yeah, I guess this is something to keep an eye on. I know I asked this question before, but neither of you have listened to any of the songs from Shrek the Musical, right?
No.
I would strongly recommend it. I think it's got some great songs in it.
But you know my policy on this. I don't listen to musical songs until I've seen the musical, and I live somewhere where I never get to see musicals. So I
went to see the Sydney production of Shrek the Musical, God, back when that could be done, which I guess would have been around so at least 2 years ago. This year. No, because in Sydney we had a period where we had a lockdown, and then we had like 6 months where it was basically back to normal, and now we're back in hell again. So it was during that golden period. Great stuff. But yeah, this is something that they go into a bit more. There's a great song in there that is basically like tracking Fiona's life as she grew up in the castle. And it's wonderful. And it goes a lot more into the psyche of somebody who's been locked in a castle for whatever, 20 years.
Jeez, yeah.
Does she get Uber Eats? Like, how does she get her food?
Yeah, I don't know.
The dragon just like chars things and spits them in her room or something. Yeah,
I'm just wondering if the dragon
has
a
hot plate, but that doesn't really explain what she ate, does it?
I suppose maybe the dragon shared bits of meat with her. I don't know. Well, there was like an exemption for Uber Eats people.
I hate to say it, but maybe like presumably there are a bunch of knights coming to rescue her, getting caught by the dragon.
I like that.
Ooh, grim.
I'm into it.
Yeah. That's Cannibal. The best answer we've had.
Yeah. Cannibal Fiona. I'm headcanoning it.
Speaking of eating knights, as as Shrek is rescuing Fiona, he passes by a cookbook that the dragon has that makes references to meals that you can eat by cooking knights. What's the name of the recipe that we see on the open book as they head through?
It's going to be a pun involving a knight. Like, I'm thinking like nighttime snack or something.
Yeah. Georgia? I don't think I've noticed that before.
And you call yourself Shrek fans. You're both wrong.
This pale quiz show section is going to be a sweet, sweet revenge.
The answer is, and it's not really a pun. I didn't really get it, which is why it stood out to me. Nightly treats. I guess that's kind of a pun, but yeah, I've never heard the phrase nightly treats before.
No. I feel like mine
is
was
that a
better.
Real phrase? Yeah, it yours
would be,
was.
It would be a pun if anybody said that ever.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
So the dragon's been eating the people.
Well, yes, definitely.
And yeah, cooking them up for Verona.
Yeah,
maybe
they share.
I'm getting my wires crossed.
Yeah. So Fiona, Shrek, and Donkey start heading back to Duloc. They are bonding. They're learning about prejudice as they travel. It's great. And this is it's worth pointing out here. Donkey really is like the kids' movie character in this film, right? Like, Donkey is the comedic relief, and he is here to keep the kids entertained. Because a lot of the jokes, Shrek does have some jokes, yes, but a lot less jokes. But a lot of them are like more adulty. So like, here's an exchange from when they're rescuing Fiona. Donkey says, "Where is this fire-breathing demon anyway?" And Shrek says, "Inside, waiting for us to rescue her," which is a very good joke. Real zing. And Donkey's like, "Oh, Shrek," or whatever he says, you know. But like, that's not I don't think the kids would cotton on to that if they're, you know, not of a certain age. It's very like boomer humor vibes. But like, it makes me think, because, you know, there's no donkey in the book, right? And I bet that in the early versions of the script, there probably wasn't a donkey. And it just kind of wouldn't work as a kid's movie. And I'm glad they added Donkey, because he really adds a lot of levity to this.
I think Donkey is the best character. I love Donkey. He's just, I mean, that's so true. He totally lifts the mood. But he's just so nice as well. Like, the only thing that really annoys me every time I watch his movie is, like, Shrek is so mean to Donkey, and Donkey is, like, the only, like, you know, in Shrek, you start to find out, you know, oh, Shrek actually doesn't like being an outcast. Like, he doesn't feel like he deserves to be an outcast, like he didn't do anything wrong, he just looks different or whatever. And so he treats Donkey, who's the only person who's ever not done that to him, like shit constantly, just because he's kind of annoying. He's pretty annoying. And I'm like, oh, what? Like, I don't get it. He's so mean to Donkey. Like, Donkey's so lovely.
Yeah. I mean, he obviously, he wants to push someone like that away before they inevitably hurt him, because that's what he thinks is going to happen. Like,
yeah, that's true. Blah, blah.
But yeah, no, it hurts to watch.
Because I love even like right at the start, I mean, we've already gone over the scene, but you know, when they're first meeting and after he's sung the little song, and you know, he's just like, what, look at me, what am I? And he's just like, really tall. And he's yeah. like, no, I'm an
he's
ogre.
So genuine.
He's like, yeah. Doesn't that bother you? And he's just like, nope. And Shrek's like, what the fuck? But it's such a nice moment. And he just kind of goes, oh, and stops trying to shoo him away and just lets him trot along next to him. It's really sweet.
Yeah. He really is the heart of the film.
Yeah.
I mean, like, obviously Shrek and Fiona at the start of this film, they're not super likable, right? Like, Shrek is obviously pretty grumpy and Fiona is, like, very...
like, stuck-up princess.
Yeah, exactly. So Donkey really carries you through, I guess.
Yeah, he
yeah.
He does have some lines which are a bit more intellectual, but like you're right, like in terms of him feeling like the kids' movie character, I feel like that's like the thing that really sells out is like he's the high energy one. And that's like 80% of comedy for kids under the age of 7 is just to be moving a lot and speaking loudly, and Donkey does that part really well too.
He sure does. But yeah, he also gives like really good advice when, you know, we're not quite up to it yet, but you know, when he and Fiona talk, like before they get to Duloc and stuff.
Yeah, he
like he's got some substance to it.
There's a wiseness to that ass that is not that you wouldn't expect. So Elliot, at this point in the notes, it says you have to tell us a story.
Staring at it.
this just came up. A person in my life who I will not specify my relationship to them on air exactly, because that would make them easy to track down. Although, if anybody who's able to make that connection hears the story, they're going to know who it is anyway. Oh, wait, anyway, point is, someone in my life who is a bit of an exaggerator, let's say, and they claim to be friends with Eddie Murphy and have constantly said that next time we're all in the US, we should go to Eddie Murphy's place and have a barbecue in his backyard. Since I've known this person, he has traveled to America and to Los Angeles and San Francisco specifically with these people a number of times. And every time it hasn't worked out for some reason, Eddie has had to cancel last minute.
Has he played into the ruse? He died? Like, has he been like, oh yeah, I've texted Eddie, like we're gonna go over to his place.
Like it's good to go.
So I haven't been on any of these trips to America. All I know is that like it's sort of like some other people get like really excited and then it's like, yeah, a couple of days before they leave or like as they're getting over there, it's like, oh yeah, unfortunately he's off doing something or like blah blah blah. Like there's some reason it can't happen. And it's just
Well, I mean, he's a very successful actor, so it's plausible.
Yeah, I guess just knowing this person, it's not though.
Fair enough.
Anyway, so yeah, I feel like that story probably worked better for you too because you know who I'm talking about, and in the context probably makes it more hilarious that he does this. But yeah, I essentially have this person in my life who seems to have committed to this bit of pretending to know Eddie Murphy. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he does really know him, but it's not where my money's going. I'd be willing to bet a lot of money that he doesn't.
Ooh, I can't wait until this eventually gets out and then this person does like reveal a photo of them like hand in hand with Eddie Murphy or whatever, you know, whatever will prove it.
I would be willing to believe that this guy met Eddie Murphy for 5 minutes at a party once and has extrapolated that meeting to Eddie and I are best friends and I can go to barbecue at his place in order to like continue escalating the story every time he tells it.
Maybe Eddie is just that nice and he meets somebody at a barbecue and he invites them back to his place, you know, gives them his phone number.
I mean, he could be. He's not though.
Yeah. Getting back to the movie, we were talking about Fiona's character before. I do want to call out, like, it didn't occur to me until this watch, but she really feels like a representation of like the little girl who has grown up watching Disney movies and has been like indoctrinated by the Disney mythos.
Like, yeah, that's so true.
She believes, you know, it's very much playing into the kind of patriarchal feminine role of putting your princess on a pedestal and then, you know, very unhealthy kind of relationship dynamics that is exactly what Fiona believes should be the norm. I just thought that was so wonderful and another great extension of the messages of this film.
And I suppose as well the sort of thing that she and why she falls in love with Shrek, you know, which initially seems like quite improbable, is probably because that's all what she thinks she should be like.
Yeah.
But then when she acts like herself, you know, she's actually pretty down to earth. You know, she likes Matrix style fighting. I don't know.
Yeah, she likes freeze framing and kicking people. Yeah. And exploding birds.
Yeah, exactly. You've got the little montage of her, like, you know, she's actually pretty nasty. And that idea that, yeah, and so she falls in love with Shrek because they're actually fairly alike. And yeah, that I suppose, yeah, it's like all that stuff. She's just been told you should be like this, but she just isn't.
Yeah, I mean, well, like the prominent example is that she does, like, she's a great fighter. Like, she kills Robin Hood and all of his band of merry men.
Who are, for some reason, French. I still don't fully understand that.
Just go with it.
But it works.
Robin Hood
was
classically French. Sherwood Forest is actually
as you know, the sheriff of Nottingham in France.
just below the channel. But she can kick ass. Like there's basically every indication that she could have got out of that castle if she wanted to. She was staying there because she was waiting for her Prince Charming. Like she's somebody who absolutely has the potential to be her own person and has basically been indoctrinated into not doing that, and Shrek breaks that programming.
And now this does get expanded on in the sequel, Elliot, so I really look forward to your you learning about that.
Yeah, it's crazy to me that you haven't seen Shrek 2.
I have seen it, I just don't remember.
I thought we grew up together.
But that you haven't seen Shrek 2 as much as you've seen Shrek 1 is kind of wild to me.
Because every time you watch Shrek 1, you're like, shit, I'm watching Shrek 2.
Yeah.
But we didn't have Shrek 2 on DVD.
We 100% did. I've seen Shrek 2 probably more times than I've seen Shrek 1.
Well, I must have missed that part. I don't know where I was for that.
Yeah, Hannah and I just sat there and watched it together, apparently.
We should talk about – so we've referenced this fight scene that Fiona has where she beats up Robin Hood and all his merry men, and it's wonderful. It's another wonderful scene. But something that I really liked that I noticed is – the music in this scene, the score is diegetic. There's a guy on the accordion playing along the entire time. And then he's the last one left and he kind of chases after Fiona and the accordion just kind of goes hoo, until he gets kicked in the face and then it just stops. And it's so wonderful. It's like, it's just another really great scene that you know, you might not catch on your first run through, but it's just great.
Yeah, there's a lot of really good visual gags in this film that are very blink and you'll miss them. I think I probably knew this as a kid, but I'd forgotten that, like, the mama bear is, like, a rug.
Is killed, on Farquaad's,
thing at the end and, like.
Oh, the fucked up scene.
Yeah, tons of stuff like that where
it's
just, like.
Another great little line is at the start where the bears are sitting in the cages and the little bear goes, this cage is too small.
They have a few moments like that. Like, there's also when Shrek first comes out and sees that his swamp is covered in the fairy tale things, and it's just like it sort of has a couple of shots looking at them, and each one probably has like three or four jokes hidden in it. Like, you'll sort of like in the foreground have these witches landing their brooms, and like you've got like a little gnome fucking doing like the airway signals because it's a runway. And that's like a joke in and of itself, but behind it, there'll be like the shoe, and there's something going on with that fairy tale. Like, there's this movie isn't at all afraid to just throw like four things on it at once and like expect you to kind of miss a bunch the first time.
Yeah, 100%. There's just so much. It's so densely packed full of jokes.
Yeah.
We get this montage as they're heading back towards Duloc, and there's this one bit where they're like camping out under the stars, and it's this great, very emotional scene. And Shrek names some constellations in the sky above them. Can anybody tell me any of the constellations that Shrek mentions? 1 point for each one you can name.
He says one, and it's not Taurus, but it's very similar.
Mm-hmm. Do you want me to give you a hint? I can give you a hint.
I know there's someone the flatulent, and we can guess what he's famous for.
It's Bloodnut.
Oh, yeah, nice.
Well played. I think I'll give you both a point for that. That was pretty good.
Yeah, I needed the flatulent to get that first half, so that's fair.
Yeah, and I couldn't get the first half. I could only get the teamwork.
Okay. I'll give you the description of another one that he mentions. This is a constellation that represents the only ogre to ever spit over three wheat fields. Exactly. Yeah, yeah. Can you tell me the name of that ogre?
I can't even remember the name of a person I met 2 seconds ago.
But you remember the description of this constellation?
I remember Odious's name.
It's something like Hoagie Toss. It's got like it's a name that works into what that story is. I remember
this one actually isn't. The name is Throwback. I don't really get it. Maybe there's a joke there that I don't get. I'm going to give Georgia the point for it anyway because she got that it was the only ogre ever to spit over three wheat fields. All right,
Maybe that's something Shrek did in the novel. That's why it's a throwback.
Oh, that's very clever. Not bad. Wow. Good joke, if that's
can
true.
Can I have a point?
fuck you.
No. I mean, if you could prove that it was true, I would give you the point.
Yeah, if it's actually true.
Yeah.
Prove it. Ruben, I've been watching a lot of Taskmaster recently, and you're nowhere near corrupt enough to be a good Taskmaster. This is unacceptable.
Okay, so Donkey asks, there's one more that I've got here. Donkey asks Shrek, are there any Donkey constellations? And Shrek clearly makes one up on the spot to appease Donkey. Does anyone know what it's called?
No idea.
It starts with a G. And it's like a really daggy name. What is it?
Gabby?
I think it is Gabby.
I'm going to give you the point for that, Elliot. It's Gabby the Small and Annoying. So that's incredible that you got that. I'm really impressed. I thought these questions would be harder and would stump you all. And they have a bit, but you've gotten a lot of them.
To be fair, Georgia probably deserves a point for that as well, because I wouldn't have got there without that.
That was another teamwork one. And I could remember the small and annoying bit, but I couldn't remember the name. Gabby, small and annoying.
there was a possible bonus point, but nobody here got it. Donkey, for a moment, also thinks the moon is a constellation, but I'm not
going to
try.
I do enjoy that. That big one right there, that's the moon.
Yeah. So, as they near Duloc, the gang begins to dread their time coming to an end. And so despite the fact that they don't necessarily need to, they make camp in this old windmill one last time. And it leads to some pretty dramatic stuff. And I want to call this out, actually, because, like, this is Mike Myers in the lead. But, like, he really does really well in the dramatic bits of this role. Like, surprisingly well. Because he's, you know, like, he's the straight man to Donkey most of the time. He's kind of got some more, like, sarcastic-y, humory lines, but he's very much so the serious one to Donkey, and it's just, like, it's weird.
It is when you think about Mike Myers, yeah.
Because I don't know that I've really seen Mike Myers in anything else except Austin Powers, but my understanding is he kind of came into this off the back of Austin Powers.
Yeah, which, or like, The Love Guru, which is much later and very terrible.
But, like, I think that kind of proves your point. Like, taking the guy who was Austin Powers and being like, can you be, like, essentially the straight man of this film? Like, that's a weird decision to make.
Yeah, but he really kills it.
Yeah.
So, Donkey finds Fiona and learns of her terrible secret, which is at night she turns into a hideously ugly ogre. And there's, like, a whole misunderstanding about this. And I'm normally one of those people that really hates plots revolving around misunderstandings based on overhearing a tiny snippet of a conversation, which is a very common trope. But, like, I don't know what it is about this one. It is just so satisfying and well done.
I think it's because the dialogue is done really well. Like, every time I watch it, like, it's so clever, like, how the words that have been used are so, like, misinterpretable.
Yeah. It's perfect.
Yeah. I actually have something else I want to add to that, because I put a lot of thought into this after we watched it, because I agree, I liked it. And I also agree, this is a trope that I almost always universally hate. Like, the main reason I've always said that I don't think Black Panther is a great film is because most of Black Panther's plot is essentially formulated around this trope, and it drove me nuts. Like, Black Panther could have been solved if everybody stopped and talked about what they were doing. And I think the reason it works really well in Shrek is that the bit that he overhears targets this insecurity that the entire movie has been like really fundamentally weaving into their characters. Like we already talked about, Shrek is the kind of person who pushes everyone away because he thinks they're going to hurt him. So like, of course, him immediately leaping to the conclusion that Fiona thinks somebody's a monster would apply to him. Like that tracks with everything we know about him.
That's very true.
And then like similarly, you know, it's during this scene that we're learning that like Fiona also has a big chip on her shoulder regarding this secret. So like, of course, as soon as she thinks Shrek knows her secret and doesn't like her anymore, that pisses her off. It's like it's a misunderstanding in this trope, but it's playing off such a well-established and like sensible set of their like what defines both of their characters that I think it still works.
Like literally they're both just insecure about being hideous, ugly beasts.
Yeah.
And that the other one won't like them for it. It's very true.
Yeah, you're right. Maybe that is what it is. It's set up more actively, which I think is good.
Yeah.
And like, it's just well written as well. Like it's believable that they would each hear that and make and those jump. Assumptions. Whereas a lot of these, the times this trope is used, you think that doesn't quite make sense. You would clarify that with the person or you would question it or you would ask someone.
Whereas like this is a topic that neither of them would want to talk about if they think there's even a chance the other person feels that way. Like it,
and there's also no, like Shrek would, why? But if, when Shrek overhears that, he would never assume that Fiona was talking about herself because he doesn't know she turns into an ogre.
Yeah, that you're right. That is a much, much wilder assumption that she's talking about anyone else.
Shrek.
Can I quickly jump back? This is jumping back a little bit, but this is like my like bobblehead guy moment. It's the bit where Donkey, where they're like, they don't want to go to Duloc yet, and they're trying to convince Donkey, like, oh, you look sick. And he's like, oh, well, I wasn't going to say anything, but my neck, sometimes it does this thing. And then he cracks his neck to the side and it goes really loudly and he's like stuck at 90 degrees. He goes, ow, see?
Yeah, he like slams his neck 90 degrees and it's like so clearly at an ungodly angle.
For some reason that really gets me every time. It just makes me laugh so hard. And yeah, like this is not far from the cleverest joke in the film, but it just really gets me.
Well, and also, neither of the other two actually address it. They just like, they're like, oh, okay, good, he's acquiesced, and they ignore him.
Everybody just accepts that that's how Donkey is.
Yeah. Oh, good, he bought it.
Yeah. So, yeah, Donkey and Shrek, Shrek overhears this and thinks that he's being insulted by Fiona and that she'll never love him. So he goes off to fetch Farquaad, and then he goes back to his swamp to be sad and alone.
Farquaad. Such a good name. Every time you say it, it's just really, I think it must be hearing it in the Australian accent or something, but every time you're saying it, I'm just really like,
such a clever name. That's his name, Georgia. I don't know what to tell you.
It's just really good.
It is good. There's also this bit, this is where, so Donkey is going off sad by himself and then bumps into Dragon, who's also off sad by herself next to a river. And then this is like them kind of reconnecting. And when I was a kid, like this felt like it was just a goofy joke to me, like, oh, because he's like a tiny little donkey and she's like a huge dragon. That's funny. But it's obviously such a clear extension of the themes of the film of like, you know, not judging people by their appearance and like people can be worthy of love despite, you know, not necessarily thinking they'd be a good match or whatever. Like, I can't believe I must have been so stupid when I was young that went so over my head.
I'm not going to lie, even on this rewatch, I didn't quite put that together like you did. I just was back in autopilot and thought it was just a dumb joke, but it's a good point.
I thought more about the fact that, like, yeah, that Donkey was all alone again because, you know, his first thing was that, like, he comes into the story just talking about how he's so alone and then he loses Shrek and he's just so alone and then he sees Dragon and he's like, oh, like, hang on, there's somebody that appreciates me, which is...
Yeah, the one person who actually wanted to put up with his shit.
Yeah, and he's like, oh, maybe I should give her a chance, you know, and that's kind of how I took it. It's still really weird when they have kids, though.
It is weird.
They have kids?
Stay tuned, Elliot. Stay tuned. So yeah, Donkey and Shrek are arguing, but they end up making up, and Donkey reveals the misunderstanding. So Shrek heads to the wedding to confess his feelings to Fiona. Again, such a good dramatic moment. Like, Mike Myers kills the voice acting here. Like, you feel him freak out when he's like, oh, I heard what you were saying about me, blah, blah, blah. Like, she called me a hideous ogre, and it just fucking lands. And I Googled Mike Myers dramatic roles, and the top result on Google was he was number one on the top 10 comedic actors who failed in dramatic roles list. So, like, I guess he never did many more on, didn't work in many more. Maybe it was just because he was voice acting in this one as opposed to, what do you call it? Regular acting? Vanilla acting?
Face acting?
Face acting.
Human body acting.
Yeah. But, like, he fucking nails it. You really feel it. My heart broke when he went off a donkey.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. Something else I also really like, you know when they run into the wedding and they're trying to, you know, Donkey's like, so, and this is another subverting expectations thing, he's like, there's this line, you've got to wait for this one line where he says, you know, does anyone object? And then they just, oh shit, we missed it, and he just runs in, I object, just like in the middle of nothing.
It's again, it's really another good. Perfect, like, rejection of the fairy, because, like, if this was a fairy tale, of course he would run in right at the perfect moment and object. But
yeah,
because of what this movie is, it has to go against that, and it's so fucking perfect.
But they try really hard to find out what the line is, and he just saw, oh, he already said it.
Yeah, like, I think that's a great example of the extra mile they go, because to just invert it would be to just have him run in and say, I object, at the wrong time. But the extra layer of rejecting it is to have him specifically organized to go in at the right time and still completely fuck it up.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Like, yeah, it's an extra level of that.
Yeah.
I mean, the other thing, like, to jump back to Donkey and Shrek in the swamp as well, I really like the way Donkey actually, like, stands up to Shrek here. Like, you're talking about that moment he has with Dragon, and I feel like this is sort of, that delivery on that, whereas, like, Donkey's essentially been a bit of a doormat this entire film and has let Shrek treat him like shit. And now that Shrek's doing that to Fiona too, Donkey sort of finally puts his foot down, and it's, yeah, the character arcs in this movie are better than I remember.
Right. Yes. This movie is so good. Yeah. It's so perfectly constructed.
Because Donkey's a really good, like, portrayal of, you know, somebody who's just really nice being, you know, potentially mistaken for somebody who is just willing to put up with anything or who isn't bothered by anything. And, you know, so when he actually stands up, it's like, no, he realizes you're being mean to him and, you know, he doesn't like it, but he's just a very, you know, nice, he's just very loyal. And so he puts up with it because he wants to be your friend or whatever.
Yeah, like, he's super lonely and insecure about his life. Like, he lets Shrek treat him like shit because he'd rather have that than be alone. Like, what he's running away from is being alone. And this is, like, the point where he's finally, like, yeah, like, he's more angry at Shrek for what he's doing than scared of being alone. And he's also got Dragon now.
Mm. Yeah. Elliot, would you say Donkey is a doormat until Shrek finally crosses the line? Elliot,
yes.
Would you say that? Yeah. No, say it. Just say it.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Shrek, Donkey is a real doormat.
You even copied my fuck up. That's good.
I'm a method actor. Donkey's a real doormat until Shrek finally crosses the line.
Yeah, speaking of lines, who says this line?
The line it's is, so organic. What a segue.
The line is, oh, for the love of Pete.
Shrek.
Correct. But that's not worth any points unless you can tell me which time, unless you can tell me when Shrek says it.
I think it's isn't just when before he runs in and says,
when Donkey is like, oh, we already missed it.
I'm going to give a point to Georgia there. There's a second time Shrek says that line twice. It's kind of his catchphrase. So Georgia, you get 1 point there.
Georgia, what was Georgia's answer?
Before going into the church.
Oh, so the same as mine, I was just too slow.
You were too slow, yeah.
Okay.
But he says it a second time.
It's probably to Donkey.
Yeah, I know when Donkey's irritating him in the Lion King section before they go into the castle.
Afraid not. No. It is when they are arguing right before.
Damn it! I was going to guess that, but
Shrek
it seemed too obvious.
Shrek overhears the bad stuff. He says it there. So, afraid not. Afraid not. All right. Anyway, back to the show. So, in order to determine who truly loves her, Fiona reveals her secret to everyone. Farquaad flips his dip and attempts to have them killed, but Shrek, really with help from Dragon, saves the day.
Mostly
Dragon.
Dragon
kind of carries the team.
Yeah, it's all Dragon. Dragon just eats Farquaad, and then that like solves the problems.
Although there's no explanation given as to what happens to the kingdom after that, right?
Like, I was
there's no
that.
Discussion of succession.
What happens to Duloc?
Yeah, well, because Farquaad's not a king, he's a lord, right? So is this like in the, I guess I don't want to get, stupidly, I don't want to get into spoilers for the second movie here.
Because some idiot hasn't seen it.
Yeah.
Can't believe you haven't seen it.
Is it ever mentioned? I guess we'll have to keep an eye out for it.
Yeah, maybe that's only something that comes up in the wiki. That would be a very high ground franchise thing to do.
Okay, yeah, let me look it up.
It's probably in a video game or something.
Duloc.
As Ruben's looking that up, I just want to say, like, it, you know, we've talked about like the way they're deliberately inverting fairy tale things here, and this moment's obviously a classic where Fiona kisses Shrek, and then we have the big Beauty and the Beast transformation ripoff. It's not even subtle that's what they're referencing. And then she's like the ogre, and then he still accepts her, and it's all like, it's extremely corny and predictable, but it still works because that's what this film is doing. It's both subverting and leaning into fairy tale corniness in a really cool way.
Yeah, it's a very good ending. And then yes, then we get a dance party.
So I don't know where this has come from.
I told you, the fucking wikis for the high ground franchises, man.
Yeah, they're just hectic. So the original Princess of Duloc was called P-E-A.
Okay.
And, of course, you're thinking Princess.
The Princess and P, the P.
Exactly. Not only was she the mother of Farquaad, she was the wife of Grumpy, one of the seven dwarves. So that's the origin story to
So he's half dwarf.
So short. But how come he, if she was a princess, how come he is a lord?
Is just
and
a
not...
lord? I don't know.
Because that's like a huge, that's kind of like the whole point of the movie, isn't it? Is that he wants to be a king and not a lord.
Maybe.
Yeah. I mean, in the wiki page, it just says, Duloc is a lordship ruled by a lord or lady who can be directly crowned king or queen if they were to marry a prince or princess, which
okay,
just
yeah,
seems
so
over
just...
the top convoluted.
No, that's just the wiki, like, covering the plot hole by saying that's how it works here, deal with it.
Yeah. Only because I was going to say, like, that in a patriarchal system, if a princess marries, like, say Grumpy was apparently Lord of Duloc, then, you know, she wouldn't necessarily, like her kids wouldn't necessarily be royalty.
Be royalty. That,
but
that
then
kind
that,
of tracks.
Which tracks, except that then how come if Farquaad marries a princess, he would become a king?
Well, just because. Like,
that doesn't make any sense.
My thought
then
is
Grumpy
because.
Grumpy would be a king because he married a princess.
Well, he'd be the, he'd be the king of wherever Fiona's from.
Yeah,
yes.
I don't really get it.
it doesn't make any sense.
Anyway, I will say this because I don't think it's going to come into any of the things we watch. Maybe I'm wrong. In the Halloween special, Scared Shrekless, should I stop now? Are we going to watch that? Or should I keep going?
I mean,
we
could.
Will,
like,
but
next...
I also don't care about spoilers.
Okay.
Well, no,
you see Duloc
again, watching, I care about spoilers.
Okay. Well, we'll find out what happens to Duloc then.
Spooky.
But yeah, so Shrek and Fiona kiss and the day is saved. Fiona stays in ogre form. And then it's time for the end of the 2000s film Dance Party, which is very 2000s.
It's so good.
But this isn't even the good one because there's the extra
there's
one.
There's two,
that I sent.
Sorry, yeah. There's
DVD
the
one
that's like the post-credits scene or whatever.
Yeah. And then the DVD one, which is even cooler, the karaoke party.
No, I think the karaoke one is the post-credits one. I think that's a post-credits scene.
Oh, well, it's cool.
Yeah. And that's the end of the film. I don't have anything to say about the dance party. I mean, it just kind of happens and then you're like, yeah, cool.
It feels like, so something we've done at my work, like for those who don't know, like I work in a team that does like VR stuff. And whenever we animate a new character, one of the first things one of the animators in our office will do is make it do a funny dance, and we'll hop in VR and look at it dance.
Mm-hmm.
And this feels like
your job is that. So different from mine. It's so different.
But like this feels like that, but at a time when any animation was still so expensive that like if you're dedicating some time to like, you know, for our animators, it takes them an hour to make like a new character do a funny dance and like add some karaoke music to it. You can sort of tell DreamWorks, like, it would have taken them tons of time. And as they were toying, they probably made them do these funny dances. And then it was like, oh, shit, we spent, like, $50,000 on animators doing the funny dances. Can we make this part of the movie now? Like, because it was also new and novel, it was like they still thought it was cool and it had been expensive enough that they just crammed it in there.
Yeah, I can see it.
Yeah. And also the song.
Yep.
Then I saw her face. I'm a believer.
Yeah, I mean, iconic, right? Everything in this movie is just iconic.
We sang that in the Eisteddfod one year. Song. The year 7-8 choir that for some reason existed.
But like because all it was women. In this movie, right?
Yeah, just because it was like, so popular. Yeah. It's like as in just I don't remember what we sounded like, but it's hard to imagine like year 7 and 8 girls singing this song. I can't imagine it sounded very good. It didn't really fit very well. Also, the teacher tried to get us to sing Then I Saw His Face, and it was like outrage. Oh. Everybody was like, no way.
Very anyway. Gender normative.
Yeah, it was. And she even said, she's like, you know, guys, this is an all-girls school. Like, sometimes there's already some rumors that, you know, this is like a lesbian school, and we're all like, I don't care. I'm not singing. Then I saw her face.
Yeah, so wrong. She thought that if you sang Then I Saw Her Face, the school would get a reputation.
Yeah, and that if we sung Then I Saw His Face, that people would be like, they're not lesbians.
Oh, never mind. Oh, yeah.
Were
I had heard some things about this school, but I guess not.
Also, like,
straight as fuck.
Yeah, it was just so
defensively straight.
Yeah,
and I saw his face.
It was weird.
Yeah. I guess toxic femininity is a fit thing. Yeah. I guess I'm having one of those moments now where I've sung that song, or, you know, I've heard that song a lot growing up, and I can sing half of the words. I think I'm only for the first time ever processing what they might actually mean, though. Like, do you guys have this very often? Like, where, like, you realize that you've been singing a song, like, along every time it comes on for, like, 20 years, and you've only just considered what it means for the first time?
Yeah, I've definitely had that before.
What are you...
Well, no, I have no idea. I'm Googling.
Is there like a realization?
Well, I'm wondering what it's
just
about.
It's about a guy who falls in love. That he didn't think he'd ever fall in love, and he fell in love. Yeah. And now he believes in love.
So the I Saw Her Face is a good thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, good. I just had it in my head, like, it was a bad thing.
Then I saw her face, and now I believe in zombies or like horrifying ghouls. What?
Yeah.
Well, this is what I'm saying. I'm only just thinking about it for the first time.
Then I saw her face, and now I believe in ghosts.
Think about because she had harder, such a pale face. You're catching on real slow.
It was only like 4 years ago, and I remember copying so much shit for this. I think it was when we were living together, Ruben, although you may not have been there for this incident. But somebody was cooking pancakes, and like 26-year-old me was like, oh shit, cakes that you cook in the pan.
No, I was there for that. I was there for that.
Yeah. Fucking
no, I feel like
mind.
Everyone goes through those. There are some of those things that everyone goes through.
Yeah.
I heard about somebody who recently found out that it was human being and not human bean. I feel like everyone has these things that they kind of find out, right?
Mine is so like doing an operation, and I kept hearing this word penectomy, which is obviously taking something out, and I didn't know what it was. So I just kept like, you know, when you just ignore it. I'm just like, I don't know what that word is. And then I go to us, I'm like, hold on.
to be clear, so if you're in surgery doing a surgery and you hear a word you don't know, the thing to do is just blow it off.
Just freestyle.
So the thing is,
I think you want this thing, right? This is a scapula, is that right?
if it's important, surprised. I'll bring it up
you're
again.
Like, can you pass me the thing to do that stuff? And you're like, I don't know what it's called.
Can you pass me the forceps? We only have one.
Yeah. I used to get into trouble when I was in HR. I'd be like, can I have the tweezers? They're like, they're not tweezers. It's like, you know what I mean, though. and I'm like, I don't know what this penectomy thing is. Because for some context, I'm currently working in a different field to what I normally work in. And we're just like cutting out lots of bits. Like it's plastic surgery. So it's just like cutting out all lesions all over the place. So I'm like, and on the face, there's so many things. So there's all these weird names for different things that you do to the face, and I can't keep up. So I'm like, I don't know what this penectomy thing is. And then I'm going to my boss. I'm like, so we've taken the ear off. Like, what's that called? And she's like, that's the penectomy. And I was like, oh. And this in front of so many people, I was like, yep. That makes a lot of sense, that because, you know, you talk about the peener of the ear and stuff, and just it was like one of those moments that just hit me, and I was like, that's so obvious. Like, I am so dumb right now.
It's just, yeah, if you hadn't heard that before, Georgia, maybe you need a reverse penectomy.
Well, then the next day, ooh. I'm standing on the so we took
oh, wait, no, that's not the one I want.
Hey, that works too.
So the next morning, no. Actually, I was.
No.
Yeah, there it there is. There it is.
Go. Oh, there we go. Thank you. Well, the next morning, I was standing on. We took the right ear off, and I was standing on the right side of the bed. And I'm talking to the guy. And he's just like talking over the top of me and like ignoring me. And I was like, what the hell? And then I realized I'm just talking into the ear we've taken off. Couldn't fucking hear anything I was saying. And I told my boss, and she just couldn't stop laughing at me. She's like, God, you're funny. I was like, I'm like that really stupid registrar that you have, aren't I? I don't know what the operations are called, and I keep talking into people's ears that we've cut off.
It's like that thing where, like, you know, where there's the group of friends and every group of friends has the dumb one.
I'm
and
the if Joey. Your group
doesn't have the dumb one, it's because you're the dumb one. Like,
I'm like the Joey. The Joey Tribbiani. It's like, oh. Yeah, he can't hear me because we cut off his ear yesterday.
But don't get too down on yourself, Georgia, because you have won the Shrek trivia.
Yeah.
I guess I got
1 point.
No, you got 3 points, Elliot. So oh, really? You really weren't keeping track. But Georgia has 6. But I'm gonna give one more question. Here you go.
Oh, okay.
Is it worth 4 points?
It's not. It's only worth 1 point. But you can get some, you know, some honor back.
Yeah.
Okay. This is a finish this
sorry,
sentence.
At what point did you think I had dignity? I don't need this.
So this is a Fiona quote. She says, when one lives alone, one has
donkey.
Sorry? Is that your answer or your buzzer? I don't understand.
Yeah, oh no, it was my answer. There's no limit on answers, so I'm just getting in early. I'm gonna brute force this one.
Okay, that's incorrect. So Fiona Shrek. Says, when one lives alone, one Farquad. Has to learn these kinds of things in case...
There's an arrow in your butt.
Oh, correct, yeah. Georgia. 1 point. I mean, there's an arrow in your ass, but I'll give you the point.
That is also the, like, a line from the section that I performed in the Estedford with my sister and my friend. So I know that bit too well.
Well played.
Final score. So I was there close. Was an arrow in my butt.
Yep.
Like I had a little costume, so there's a little arrow poking out of my
The line
pants.
Is, there's an arrow in your ass, but now I'm thinking that maybe you learned a slightly PG-5 version.
We did. That's actually probably right. I don't think we said ass in the Armadale Stedford.
This is censorship, all right? This is un-American. Anyway, Georgia, you have won the day with 7 points, Elliot with a very dishonorable 3 points.
Oh,
and that ends out, yeah. Get rid of your green paint and your brown vest because you're not allowed to wear it anymore.
So this isn't, I don't know what this is and why I'm bringing it up, but I'm sure
that fits the bill for this show. Yeah.
What an intro. I'm going to assume that you guys have both seen the Shrek is Love, Shrek is Life video.
Yes.
I can't find it anymore because I've looked for it multiple times over the last few years and I can't find it.
I actually found it the other day.
Can you send it to me? I want to watch it again.
I did. It has a bunch of slurs in it, though, that I didn't remember being in there. So that was a bit of a bummer.
Really?
Yeah.
All I can remember is just being really disturbed in general.
Yeah, but like that's the funny disturbing part was just seriously undercut on this rewatch by realizing that it has.
Oh, so should I just keep it in my mind as a nice,
I think you're better off
funny memory.
Letting it live in the past and like whatever you've done to forget the bad parts. Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I'm reading it now.
Keep it at that.
Yikes. No. Anywho, that's the end of our show, folks. So thanks for joining us. Thanks for being a patron. And we'll be back for Elliot to watch Shrek 2 for the first time ever, which is kind of wild. See what you think of it, Elliot. But I guess, you know,
I thought I knew you. Like, I thought
this is going to cause a rift in your relationship.
Who even is Elliot Diebold? I don't know anymore. He hasn't even seen Shrek 2. The hell?
Yeah, I'm sitting here equally baffled that apparently you and Ham watched it that many times and I missed them all. Like,
I could sing every song from that soundtrack as well.
Now, I don't think that soundtrack was as popular, but there is, of course, the classic song that I'm not going to mention because it's a spoiler.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's so
I'm just
many
thinking
classics.
Of, like, so tangent time. Like, obviously, I was at our parents' the other day, Georgia, and, like, a dad referenced, like, Sunday barbecues with Merlin. As like a thing that the family should start doing again, since we all might be living in the same city again.
Why would we go back to watch Merlin again?
Oh, like Merlin! Stupid. Merlin, the TV show. I thought you were saying the really shitty
BBC one. Yeah,
I thought you were saying you were having a barbecue with Merlin, and I didn't know what that meant.
Like it wasn't barbecues. It was always pesto, like pesto pasta or pizzas.
Well, okay. I mean, that's fine because mum and dad's memory is shocking.
After
obviously.
You left home,
the thing. And so, like, dad was like, "Oh, we can start doing that again." And I was like, "I would like to experience that for once," because you guys started doing it after I moved out and went to college. But you kind of been also doing all of your Shrek 2 viewing. Like, I'm wondering, did you start watching Shrek 2 when you were 16?
No, I don't. Think
Are you sure?
Yes.
Did I just always leave after Shrek 1 and go play GameCube or something because I figured I'd have it to myself?
Yeah,
like, I'm trying to figure out
how this could happen. Because I could also probably quote most of that movie as well and not saying we should definitely do trivia again, but by the sounds of it, I would probably win.
I might have to take over being the quizzee.
Did you know Merlin had an accompanying behind-the-scenes show called Merlin Secrets and Magic?
No. Oh,
God.
There you go. Just like a...
But the effects weren't very good. I don't want to learn how they did them.
Learn what not to do.
Yes. People really loved Merlin. I mean, like, I'm looking at
Georgia
these
was
reviews.
Obsessed.
Oh, I loved it. Because I thought, I'm a bit angry with it. It's like a Game of Thrones type thing. Like, I thought it was going somewhere and it kind of just never really did. And then it sort
Georgia,
of finished.
I don't know.
And I was like, oh.
I don't know why you thought that.
It's just like
Game
of Thrones.
Okay, for seasons 1 and 2, I thought it was going somewhere. And then season 3, I started to be like, oh. And then season 4, I was like, well, I'm still here. And then season 5, I was in college and I was just like, I can't believe it's ending because I was so fucking sure that this was going somewhere at some point. It never, ever did.
Fantastic family viewing. 10 stars from me. Well done, BBC. This is a 10-star review on the IMDb page. Anywho, and with that, we'll get into some of the Shrek sequels, but Merlin may be relevant.
Oh, yeah. What? I see what you mean. Huh?
Anyway.
Yep.
That's the end of our show.
Some of us have seen every time. Oh, yeah.
Bye, hoy,
listeners. And get out of our swamp.
I guess. Is that what we're running in?
Yeah, I think so.
I couldn't think of anything better to add. I forgot to run that past you guys. I added that in last minute because we usually add something for every franchise and I couldn't think of anything else.
Well, the only other thing I could think of was to be like, hello there. What are you doing in my swamp?
Which is kind of just the same,
but
it's
like
the other
a lot for the
It's a bit aggressive at the start, isn't it? Yeah.
It's a strong opening.
Maybe not.
Especially that one. That one will seem even more aggressive and out of place when we do whatever we do after Shrek. Yeah. But you'd be like, hello there, and what are you doing in my swamp? Now, we're here to talk about Godzilla.
Yeah, and they're like, whoa, that's a lot to take in. Look, we'll have a brainstorm because there's probably a gingy line that would go in really nicely somewhere.
We'll have to see.
Yeah, that's for next time. But aside from that, we finished our outro like 2 minutes ago, so I'm going to stop the recording.
See you.
Bye.
Now,